All right.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Inflation Day to those who celebrate. Today is April 10th, 2026. And as you may have suspected, the top news today is inflation. The Consumer Price Index, or CPI, came out at 3.3% year over year. That is a big jump from the 2.4% reading we had back in February. So no big surprise here. The market is not really reacting to this, at least not as of the recording of this. A lot of this was expected. Energy in particular, gasoline, the big driver of this jump in inflation. As a matter of fact, that was the biggest increase in the index for gasoline since 1967. Yikes, we have enveloped the 70s as far as how much more expensive gasoline got last month. Now, it was only for a month. The 70s gas got expensive for 10 years. So we're not quite to the like gas crisis of the 70s level. But if this BS continues, then yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there in a hurry. But again, the market's not really too surprised by that. Now, some other interesting things. The month-over-month headline number was 0.9%. There was really only a couple of months in 2021 and 2022 where we were worse than that. So the inflation reading that we just got, it was really, really bad, but it was exactly as bad as the market was expecting. That's kind of the takeaway from this one. We'll go through the report. There weren't really any other big surprises in the inflation reading other than the big jump in gasoline and fuel oil was also very big. Other news going on this morning, we have got Carlyle is the latest private credit fund to gate redemptions. 15.7% were requested in the money back. Only 5% are going to get it. So the illiquid nature of private credit and the blow up in the private credit market is continuing this morning. We've now got Carlyle, BlackRock, Blackstone, Ares, Apollo, Blue Owl, and Cliffwater. Oh, don't forget Morgan Stanley, but who's counting? I'm getting more and more practice at spouting off that list because, well, the list is getting bigger and bigger, and it's like just about every other day now we've got another fund is gating redemptions here. We've also got a peculiar story coming out of D.C. this morning. Apparently, Anthropic's new Mythos is scaring the crap out of some people. I don't know how much of this is performative BS and how much of it is legitimate concerns, but I can tell you that there was an urgent meeting held between Treasury Secretary Bessent, Jerome Powell from the Federal Reserve, along with the CEOs of every major bank in the country, except for Jamie Dimon, who was unable to attend, all talking about, hey, you guys better get your cybersecurity house in order because apparently this new Anthropic model is capable of identifying and exploiting vulnerabilities in every major operating system and web browser when prompted. And, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm just saying, okay, well, don't let it do that. Why is that so hard? Right? Well, you know, why is this not so hard to tell Anthropic, why don't you guys program your stupid chatbot to say, I can't do that when somebody says, hack Microsoft Windows and rob JP Morgan? Why, if it's so smart and it's going to invent new physics and it's amazing, groundbreaking, then just put a line of code in that says, don't do that. You know, maybe one of you guys on GitHub could vibe code a fix to this. I don't know. But I'm having a hard time believing that this is this unsolvable problem. If the problem really is real, for all we know, this model isn't even that good. And Anthropic is just trying to get some free PR by scaring everybody about how good it's going to be. And then that way everybody's going to be like, oh my God, Anthropic is so good. Sell software stocks. Anyways, that's going on. We've also got Taiwan Semiconductor is out this morning with an earnings beat. That stock is up, somewhat shaking off fears of a helium shortage, which also derived from the conflict in the Middle East. If the world's helium supply were to suddenly dry up or Taiwan Semiconductor has to shut down production because of the helium shortage, well, that's going to hurt your rally in memory chips, which isn't so much of a rally anymore. And it's going to hurt the production of those all-important AI GPUs. We've got a crazy story about Airbus this morning. This one kind of snuck up on me. Apparently, this isn't like breaking news, But Airbus jet deliveries just announced this morning the lowest since 2009. And you may recall 2009 was not a good month or good year for anything. So what's going on? There is a shortage of aircraft engines. And apparently this is like this global phenomenon. Nobody can get their hands on aircraft engines. I did a little bit of digging about that this morning. Apparently Pratt & Whitney in particular is having issues with quality control. Some of this powdered metal manufacturing that they're doing has caused big problems, the grounding of the Airbus fleet, but it's also affecting Boeing and other manufacturers. So shortage of jet airlines, 2020's or jet engines, 2020's bingo update. And last but not least, we got to talk about the Postal Service. Shout out to my friend, the Pasta Man, who sent me this one yesterday. The U.S. Postal Service has suspended payments into its pension plan amid a cash crunch. It's not the first time they've done this, because the Postal Service has lost money every year since 2007, and it's getting worse. They have also proposed raising stamp prices, although that needs approval. It's high time we decided, is the post office a business or not? I mean, honestly, let's think about this. Out of everything you get in the mail, how much of it is important anymore? Because 90% of what I get in the mail ends up in the fire pit. I don't throw my mail out anymore for security reasons. But you get the point. It's all garbage. Why is the government subsidizing junk mail flyers, especially at election time? Oh, my God, they're awful. Just raise the price of the mail already. Stop making it a drain on the taxpayers. It's stupid. I don't like to see stamps going up, but understand the post office operates at a loss. And so you're going to pay for it either through higher stamps or through higher inflation and higher taxes by government debt spending. Don't act like if we don't raise stamp prices, it won't get more expensive to mail stuff. That's not how it works. The money comes from somewhere. One way or another, it's coming out of your ass. Anyways, guys, we got a lot to talk about today. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for you new guys, because we do this one every day. At least now we do again. And well, right now we got the S&P 500 is kind of flat here. Market is not sure what it wants to do heading into the weekend. You may notice the news cycle has been somewhat volatile over the last couple of weeks. And typically we get these sell-offs on Friday. Nobody wants to hold stocks over the weekend because everybody knows we have our wars on weekends now. But the S&P 500 is higher by 7 points, 0.11% in the green. The Dow is also flat here, plus or minus a couple of points here. It's flipping back and forth, basically unchanged for the Dow. The NASDAQ is up a little bit here, 53 points in the green, 0.23% higher. We have got the dollar is a little bit weaker this morning, 98.68. It has fallen for a couple of days now, down by 13 basis points this morning. Looking over at the bond market, we've got yields are modestly higher, not really all that much. The 30-year yield is up by a point and change at 4.911%. The 10-year is at 4.300. That's up also by a point and change. The 2-year yield is at 3.789, up about a half a point. And the 1-month is up almost 2 points at 3.635. Looking over at Bitcoin, Bitcoin's up a little bit here, a couple $100. 72,214 is priced on Coinbase. That's up by about $400 from yesterday, but still in the range it's been for the last 4 days or so. Looking over at the commodities board, we've got a mixed bag here. Spot gold is at $4,770. That's higher by $5 or 0.1%. Meanwhile, June COMEX gold futures are at $47.94. That's down by about $23 or a half a percent. Spot silver is at $75.84, higher by 51 cents or about 0.2%. May silver futures are at $76.02, down by about 40 cents, a half a percent. I like the shiny. Copper is higher by 2%. Platinum lower by 1.5%, 2/3. Palladium down by about 1.8%, and crude oil is going nowhere here. This is interesting. $98 even for WTI crude. It's higher by about a dime. It's kind of nice to see oil going nowhere, even if it is at $98. Off the lows that we saw earlier this week, I mean, we went as low as $91 on the announcement of the ceasefire earlier this week. We went as high yesterday as about $102. Now we're back just below 100. Again, the news cycle is very volatile. Let me just say this. While the headlines are quiet, be careful trading headlines. All right. There's another headline coming. There always is. When it gets here, be careful. You may notice policy and news cycles are somewhat waffly these days. That's the word I'm using. They waffle to and fro. Speaking of waffling, we've got China allows state oil firms to tap their reserves as war drags. This is the first time I have ever seen anything about China tapping their oil reserves. They've only ever added to them. As a matter of fact, even like in 2022, when the Russians invaded Ukraine and the U.S. was dumping the strategic petroleum reserve, the Chinese were still buying into their reserves. They were still adding to them. This is the first I've ever seen of this. The Chinese government has given state refiners the green light to tap commercial reserves of oil, according to people familiar with the matter, as a six-week war in the Middle East creates a global energy crunch. Refiners, including China Petrochemical Corp, known as Sinopec, and China's National Petroleum Corp, will be able to tap commercial inventories held at processing plants or in storage facilities, the people said, asking not to be identified. Though they didn't specify how much refiners would take, analysts at Energy Aspects said China could allow the use of around 1 million barrels per day over April to June. So we're looking somewhere between 90 and 100 million barrels total they'd be dumping. That's without providing any details. The estimated drawdown commercial and operational stockpiles amounting to as much as 1 million barrels a day could happen this month. China imports crude at a pace of 11 million barrels per day. Now, also interesting here, the world's top oil importer has built up an estimated 1.4 billion barrels of reserves overall, with months of aggressive stockpiling and emergency resource to be tapped if disruption in the Persian Gulf continues to upend global trade, blah, blah, blah. All right, so China has huge, huge oil stockpiles, 1.4 billion barrels. That's like six, seven times what the United States has in the SPR. Don't quote me on the math there, but it's in the ballpark. All right, they have a much bigger oil stockpile than the United States or any other country in the world has. But they're also the world's biggest importer. They import 11 million barrels a day. That is a huge amount. That's like a tenth of all global oil consumption is just Chinese imports. And what they're not saying is the reason why China has a $1.4 billion stockpile of oil reserves isn't just in case there's disruption in the Middle East. It's a nice to have when that happens. But it's just in case they decide to invade Taiwan and the United States decides to blockade China in retaliation, in particular the Strait of Malacca, which is where all of that oil China imports flows through. So that's the skinny of China's oil imports or China's oil stockpile. Unusual to see them tapping that. And we've seen a lot of other countries. The U.S. is releasing from the SPR. Japan has just announced their second release from their reserves. Now we've got China doing it too. All right, but the main story today is, of course, inflation. There you can see big jump in inflation, 3.3% headline, up from 2.4% in February. That big jump, it was all gasoline. We'll show you in the charts in just a minute. Now, look, we're still way down from where we were in 2023 and 2024. Like if we zoom out on the chart here, five-year chart, you can see, all right, in 2022, we peaked at 9.1% in CPI. So we're still a far cry from that. But this is the biggest jump we have seen in years. We are trending in the wrong direction. It's going to keep going up. I don't know by how much. Right? Eventually, this increase in headline inflation will spill over into core inflation. And we talked about this yesterday when we got the February PCE numbers. I said, don't get too comfortable there, guys. It's going to go higher here. Also interesting, on a month-over-month rate, the consumer price index in the U.S. increased 0.9% in March of 2026. That is up from 0.3%. So we saw the monthly inflation rate tripled with the outbreak of war in the Middle East. Big, big jump here. And look, when you go back to the worst of the inflation we saw in 2021 and 2022, there was only 3 months that came in higher than what we just saw. June of 22, March of 22, and October of 21 were the only months during that prior episode of inflation that came in as high as we just saw in March. So again, maybe this is a one-off. Maybe this isn't going to continue at this rate, right? I mean, you had the oil shock. It could get worse, but I think we've seen at least most of it. God willing, we've seen most of it. But still, this was a very big increase in inflation here, and the market is shrugging it off. Stocks are flat because everybody was expecting it. Also, while we're here, let's talk about core inflation rate. It did tick up. It went to 2.6% up from 2.5%. I think core will eventually increase because core inflation strips out food and energy. But when energy increases by as much as it just did, and we'll show you in a second, eventually that's going to lead to higher prices for everything on the shelf at the store, because everything has energy input to manufacture, to put on a truck and ship to the store. The store has to keep the lights on. The store has to keep the heat on. So you're going to see core inflation rise if this headline inflation stays higher here. For now, 2.6%, ever so slightly below expectations for 2.7%, but still higher than we were last month. And month over month, we came in at 0.2, again, slightly below expectations, but unchanged from the prior month. All right, so here's the chart. This is from the BLS.gov website that shows where the inflation was. You've got your March readings in this column here, and then you've got your 12-month readings next to it. Food inflation, there was none in March. That's interesting. I'm sure we're going to get comments from people who are going to say this, and this got more expensive at the grocery store. I'm not arguing with your lived experience, and I am not validating what the Bureau of Labor Statistics tells us. I'm just reading the number. Yeah, they say no food inflation. They actually say restaurants got a little bit cheaper, negative 0.2% last month. Okay, that's the food. The big one here, the energy index, a big jump in the monthly energy index number. We went from 0.6% in February to 10.9% in March. Huge jump here. Energy commodities was the biggest proportion of that, 21.3%. In that category, we had gasoline, a 21.2% increase. Again, the biggest monthly increase in gasoline since 1967. Yikes, before my time. Also, fuel oil, saying, hold my beer, 30.7% increase in fuel oil. Thank God winter is largely behind us. Good God, big jump there. Of peculiar interest. All right, yeah, electricity got a little bit more expensive, 0.8%, but that's after a 0.7% decline last month. So electricity kind of unchanged over the last 2 months. Piped gas service, negative 0.9. I'm having a hard time with that one. Especially after a 3.1% increase. Okay, maybe things got a little bit warmer in March. Maybe you could explain that, but natural gas got a heck of a lot more expensive in Europe, but the United States is the biggest producer of natural gas in the world. We're a major exporter of it, so I guess domestic natural gas prices unaffected by what happened in the Middle East, at least so far. Also, within this category or within inflation, other categories here, we've got new vehicles got a little bit more expensive, 0.5% year over year, 0.1% month over month. Used cars getting cheaper, negative 0.4% month over month, negative 3.2% over the last year. Apparel up 1% this month. The shelter index went back up to 0.3%. That's after we hit 0.2% for a couple of months there. Still 3% year over year. The shelter index is the biggest input, the biggest weighting in the entire CPI math. And transportation services, that's your auto insurance, your airline services, airline fares, also auto mechanic repairs, that kind of stuff. 0.6% increase, a big jump versus 0.2% last month. I don't know. Maybe some of that was airline fares. I think we're going to see this category jump next month. I think it's going to take a little bit of time, but we are going to see that one continue to increase 4.1% year over year for transportation services. So most of the inflation, it came from gasoline, guys. No surprises there. All right, let's talk about some other things going on this morning. Carlyle's private credit fund hit with redemption requests totaling 15.7%. The firm will limit shareholder redemptions to 5%. From the Carlyle Tactical Private Credit Fund, or CTAC, C-T-A-C. These are non-traded funds. Look, there's not a lot more to the story here other than this. You know, of course, Carlyle's like, don't worry, our returns are safe, our delinquencies are low, and, you know, yeah, our fundraising is this the same cookie-cutter responses we get from all these private credit firms that their spokespeople always spout off every time they do this. But Carlyle, not the first, won't be the last. The blow-up in private credit is continuing here. This started with Blue Owl, and now we're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 firms have now gated redemptions at several of these private credit funds. Why? Because the loans that are in these funds are not worth what they advertise. They can't sell them, and so they're telling people they can't have their money back. That's why. All right. And then this news, this is, again, I don't know how much of this is hype and how much of this is legitimate fears here, but let's just cover what Bloomberg is telling us. Anthropic model scare sparks urgent Bessent and Powell warning to bank CEOs. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell summoned Wall Street leaders to an urgent meeting on concerns that the latest AI model from Anthropic will usher in an era of greater cyber risk. Bessent and Powell assembled the group at Treasury's headquarters in Washington on Tuesday to make sure banks are aware of possible future risks raised by Anthropic's Mythos and potential similar models and are taking precautions to defend their systems, according to people familiar with the matter. Anthropic's Mythos is a more powerful system that the AI firm has said is capable of identifying and then exploiting vulnerabilities in every major operating system and web browser when directed by a user to do so. Whatever happened to, I'm afraid I can't allow you to do that, Dave, right? Why can't they just put one freaking line of code in their chatbot that says, don't do that? I don't get it. They're so smart. They're so capable. You can't do that. And yet here we are like, oh no, let's get all these multi-billion dollar salaries together in the same room. Like, what did that meeting cost us? That'd be fun. Somebody do that math. To talk about all the different hoops we're going to jump through instead of just telling Anthropic, you can't do that. And if you can't tell it not to, don't release the product, right? I mean, don't we make automobile manufacturers put seatbelts in cars? Don't we make gun manufacturers put safeties on their guns? I mean, all these things we do to make sure products don't do so much damage. Why would we not just tell Anthropic, you can't do that? Well, I don't know. But regulators caution about the power of the model in hackers' hands echoes Anthropic's own prudence. Anthropic has limited the release of it to just a few major technology and finance firms at first. Those companies, which include Amazon and Apple, as well as JP Morgan, are part of Project Glasswing, which will work to secure the most important systems before other similar AI models become available. All right, so that's good. Big tech and banks, they get protected. Everybody else, I guess your websites are just hosed when they release this product because you're not big enough to get a seat at the table here. But attending this, we had the CEOs of Citigroup, the CEO of Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, Jamie Dimon from JP Morgan. He was the only bank CEO that was unable to attend, along with the head of the Fed and the head of the Treasury. So apparently they're worried about this thing. So that's fun. Meanwhile, Taiwan Semiconductor reports a forecast beating revenue as AI chip demand defies geopolitical tensions. Sales were up 35% in the first quarter. Taiwan Semiconductor reported a forecast beating 35% jump in revenue for the first 3 months of the year, a sign that the Iran war is not curbing AI chip demand. They reported revenue of 1.13 trillion Taiwan dollars. That's about $355 billion, just barely ahead of what the analysts were expecting, 1.12 trillion. What may most encourage investors is the strength of the March sales figure, which rose more than 45%, signaling an acceleration in growth during the first month of the Iran war. Markets had been concerned about the crisis prompting a letup in demand, along with worries about a disruption to production, focused in particular on a shortage of helium given the blockade in the Strait of Hormuz. So far, that helium shortage has not materialized. That's not to say it can happen. That's just to say a bunch of people placed orders with Taiwan Semiconductor in March, despite worries about that helium shortage. Taiwan Semiconductor stock up 2.4% ahead of the opening bell, trading at $374.33. That's for U.S.-listed ADRs of Taiwan Semi. Meanwhile, Airbus. This story kind of caught me by surprise. Airbus jet deliveries in the first quarter fell to the lowest since 2009. Terrible year, 2009. Airbus delivered its fewest commercial aircraft in the first quarter since 2009, raising questions about whether the company can meet its annual target amid reverberations from the Iran war. Guys, forget that Iran war. Bloomberg just has to throw that in every headline here. This has nothing to do with the Iran war. The France-based manufacturer delivered 114 jets in the first 3 months of 2026, it said Thursday. That's a decrease of 16% from the same period last year. The company recorded deliveries, 60 deliveries in March. That was an increase from February of 35. Okay, so right away, March went up from February. So right away, you can see, yeah, the Iran war obviously was not a factor here because they sold more planes where they delivered more planes after the war started. Deliveries in January had sank to their lowest in any month since 2020, with only 19 aircraft handed over as the company grappled with the fallout from engine shortages and faulty manufacturing. In particular, Pratt & Whitney is having big issues with their engines that are using the Airbus A320. Those engines are also used by a lot of Boeing models. That is what's causing this drop in deliveries at Airbus here, not the war in Iran, although for some reason they reported it that way at Bloomberg. Airbus stock, though, could care less this morning. Stock's actually up a fraction of a percent ahead of the opening bell here. €171.98. Also, you'll notice, again, this is not really new news. You can see Airbus stock has been in steep decline pretty much since the middle of January amid this ongoing engine shortage that came to a head today. All right, last one of the day. United States Postal Service suspends contributions to pension plan to delay running out of cash. The Postal Service is temporarily suspending payments to a government-wide pension plan after warning Congress that it's less than a year away from running out of money. USPS told the Office of Personnel Management on Thursday that it will hold off paying its contributions to the Federal Employee Retirement System, a move that's expected to conserve cash in the near term. The Mail Edge agency, which has posted billion-dollar net losses almost every year since 2007, has relied on these extraordinary measures before to conserve cash. USPS previously suspended its employer contributions to FERS in 2011 to retain as much cash as possible during another acute period of financial stress. That suspension, however, only lasted for several months, and USPS resumed biweekly payments and paid back what it owed OPM. So no immediate impact to pensioners here. This has happened before when the cash, you know, Congress will pass a bill, give them more money, they'll pay back what they missed. So there's not going to be any noticeable difference to the people in the pension plan. But also noteworthy here, the USPS is planning to raise the price of a first-class forever stamp on July 12th from 78 to 82 cents. They haven't approved that yet. They've only proposed it. But stamps are already getting more expensive here. Since 2020, USPS has raised mail prices nearly every January and July, but its regulatory agency recently limited USPS to a single price hike for mail each year through September 2030. So they need approval prior to that price hike going into effect. Look, guys, how important is the – I get it. The mail is important. Oh, yeah, poor people need the mail. I get it. All right, everybody gets mail. Everybody needs to be able to mail something. But we're all paying out the wazoo for this. And think about it. 90% of what we get in the mail is pointless garbage. And we're subsidizing that pointless garbage with debt spending, deficit spending, which, by the way, is contributing to the inflation that we just talked about, which is widening the wealth gap. So let's not act like the Postal Service continuously running at a deficit is not contributing to what's making the wealth gap so bad in the first place. And by the way, there's nothing that we can get in the mail that we can't also get in email. And there's no package that we can't also get from UPS or FedEx. So what are we doing here? Raise the prices or privatize the whole freaking thing? Enough already. And this isn't just, oh, what about the mailmen? They need work. The Postal Service was never supposed to be a make work project, all right? It's supposed to be a service, all right? The service needs to pay for itself. Anyway, so that's going on. It's always pensions. Why do they always mention the pensions? They always mess with the pensions first, don't they? Hey, I just want to say thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button on the way out for you new guys. Thank you very much to my magnanimous Melonheads on Patreon, YouTube, and Buy Me a Coffee. Links down below should you feel so inclined. Looking forward to talking with you guys at 2 p.m. Eastern Time today for our weekly get-together on Zoom. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small. Dream big.